Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Brinkley. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Brinkley and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
Hello and welcome to Kingdom Connection. I am so glad that you're joining us today. I'm very excited about this special presentation. We've kind of interrupted the regular process you used to seeing me in the pulpit, but the subject that I'm going to be talking about today with a very special guest, I think is so important, it's worth taking the time to break it down and help equip you, our viewers, with what I believe some information that can really bring amazing purpose to what you do every day. Did you know that your work is worship? Did you know that of the 52 parables that Jesus taught, 43 had a workplace context when He presented them? And Jesus, of 132 public appearances in the New Testament, 122 were in the workplace. The book of Acts talks about divine interventions and miracles that happened. 39 out of the 40 miracles in the book of Acts took place in a workplace context. Why is it that we keep separating our Sundays and our Christianity and our love for God, and then we become Monday morning atheists? Well, my special guest today has taught me everything that I'm sharing with you in the introduction of this program from his amazing book called Monday Morning Atheist. Doug Spada is a decorated Navy veteran who received commendations, including the Admiral's Citation and Navy Achievement Medal. And during the Cold War, he was on a nuclear submarine. He is a nuclear engineer and also comes from a great business background. And today, I wanted him to come on this program because many of you feel like what you do during the week is not as important as what people like me, preachers and ministers, do. And I think that Doug has a unique perspective on what God has called you to do and how that your work is your worship. Oh, if I was as spiritual, or if I won souls like Pastor Franklin or someone else, well, first of all, I don't think I'm that spiritual, but the way that we reach people, you are reaching more people in the workplace, truthfully, probably more than I can ever reach. And your worship, your work is your worship. And so, Doug, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about this program. So you wrote this book, and I love the title, Monday Morning Atheist.
That's right.
And it's got a light switch on the front.
Yeah.
How did this book come about?
Well, you know, when I transitioned from the military, as you were talking about there, I started a company and I was growing a company, and then it hit me. I would go to church, I would come back, and I'd say, man, how do I apply what I just learned at church at work? And I talked to all my buddies and everybody seemed to have the same problem. We were switching off. So as you said in the introduction, you know, I was a Sunday Christian. I gave extravagantly. I served extravagantly. But a lot of times in the church, my life calling went unaddressed.
That's good.
So I sat there and became privately frustrated like a lot of the body of Christ. And so that's where that title came from. You know, Monday Morning Atheist is someone who loves God like all of us, but we sometimes work like He doesn't exist. So we almost practice a form of practical atheism. So I was practicing that and I was growing the company, saw God do some amazing things. I saw some executives and people coming to Christ. But then I had a crisis. I lost my family for a year and a half. And there's nothing that'll wake you up like losing your family. God's healed that since. Amazing family. But during that, I started to realize, like, what is the purpose of work? I tried to join church staff. I tried to do anything I could to try to be spiritual.
Had to get in the ministry.
Yeah, and then
I felt
did
like
something.
You needed to get in the ministry to work
exactly.
for the Lord.
Then I did something radical that, you know, I probably shouldn't even tell you. But I tried to talk to church staff. I tried to get the church, because I started seeing people come to the Lord out in the marketplace. And I was like, my gosh, God's active out here. So there was something that came around in San Diego where we lived at the time, and it was a business-to-business expo. 5,000 to 10,000 people in the workplace. So without telling the church, I signed the church up for the expo. And so you would come into your Wednesday night service, and I moved all the furniture out of the church down into the marketplace. So then I had all the staff come down, and we actually went into the marketplace, and you know, I trained leaders, and I had people coming down there, people were praying through there. That day we reached 1,000 people. In the marketplace, our church was only 500 people. We reached 1,000 people. So I started thinking, this was in California, the whole day we only had probably 3 people cuss us out.
Yeah.
People were hungry,
right,
to hear truth. People would just start weeping and crying. So that let me know, hey, something's up with this. So anyway, but where I started to really started to wake up is that God started to show me, and I started to discover the biblical secrets of work. And that's where the number one is what you said in the intro, is that work is actually a spiritual act. It's an act of worship.
And so when you begin to search the scriptures about what the Bible teaches, biblical secrets to work, in your research, what did you find out?
Well, I had to go all the way back to the beginning, first of all, in Genesis. And so most, 95% of believers believe that Adam and Eve sinned, so then God created work to actually punish them.
Right.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. That's one of the lies. See, the enemy's robbing the body of Christ. And let me explain this before I finish what you just asked. If we spend over 60% of our waking hours doing what? Working.
Right.
Okay? But yet we fundamentally think that work is cursed, or that we at least have to just put up with this kind of until we can kind of check out, or we can go do something spiritual at church. Then what's the point?
So good.
You can't receive, you can't even receive the blessings and the prospering that God would want, because how can you do that? Because where does God normally do that? Through your work, through your vocation, through your skills. So anyway, I went back to the creation story. Saw that God had created this, God had created all this, and then He created man. And it says in Genesis 2:15, He put man in the garden to work and tend it. Well, if you pull that word work out, okay, and look at the actual Hebrew of that word, it's a word called avodah, A-V-O-D-A-H, okay, avodah. Well, what's so interesting about that is even in Exodus, where God told Moses, hey, come up to this mountain and worship me, It's the very same word, avodah. So
wow.
All through the Old Testament, God blended work and worship because there was no separation in His mind.
So good.
So that's one of the biblical truths, that if we wrap our heads around it, people can actually get that mindset that their work is worship to God, it can change the game for them.
So even a mother, a home mother who is at home with the babies and cleaning the house and taking care of the baby.
That's right.
She, as she's doing the work, as she's doing the laundry, as she's cooking the meal, she is in a place of worship in God's eyes. The man going to sell insurance tomorrow, or the person who's a real estate agent, they really do have as great of a call on their life as I do as a preacher of the gospel.
Absolutely.
Your work is your worship.
That's right.
And your performance on that job is your platform.
That's right.
To proclaim your worship.
That's
you
right.
Don't have to do it with a sign or a Bible,
nope.
But men see your work.
That's right.
And they know that, you know, that your life is proof of your Savior.
That's right. That's right. I remember my wife works at Children's Hospital.
Uh-huh.
She works in medicine, okay? And she's like Jesus in flesh. I mean, it is amazing. She's in the cracks and the crevices of the medical system, places where you and I could never go. We can't even speak the language. So all these people and these different skills, they're like indigenous missionaries that are speaking the language of law and medicine. But so my wife, though, she has developed relationships. She prays for people. She's on the move. And so if you just step back and look at the strategy of the whole thing, Pastor, it's absolutely amazing. If you think that the average person has an influence of 25 to 50 people throughout the work week, and you think about a church that has 500 people or 1,000 or maybe larger, but just take 1,000, for example. I always ask pastors, how would you like to steward the influence of 25,000 people every single week?
Wow.
That's when they look at me and go, I never thought about it that way. And so it's very exciting when you think about the potential. And, you know, one other thing that makes me think about is that one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in American history, most people don't know this, one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in American history actually started in the marketplace and was sustained in the marketplace. It was back in 1857, a guy named Jeremiah Lanphier, and it started one block from Wall Street. Okay? Banks were failing, railroads were failing, the economy was a mess. Sounds familiar, okay? And so Jeremiah, he was just a common worker. He was a business person. He went to his church and they commissioned him as a workplace missionary. Jeremiah did what any good business person did. He came up with a flyer, posted it all over New York City. And you know, within 1 month, 10,000 people were praying every single day at noontime. It spread to cities all over the United States. Within 1 year, 1 million people came to Christ. So I used to speak with the Billy Graham organization, and Dr. Graham said many years ago, he said he believes the next great spiritual awakening is coming through the workplace.
Wow.
So if that happened today, which we see evidence that it is, that would be like 30 or 10 million people coming to Christ in the United States.
Well, all due respect to my pastor friends, we're not getting the job done alone. We're doing the best we know to do and the most that we know to do, most of the pastors that I know and preachers. But we have come to a realization that we're not going to change the world alone by standing in pulpits and preaching. It's going to take something that's happening in everyday life that begins to impact. And I think think Dr. Graham and what you're saying is exactly right, that the next move of God is in the workplace. As a matter of fact, I preached a message not too long ago where Jesus carried the cross, and he didn't carry it through the sanctuary. He didn't carry the message of the cross through denominational headquarters when he was going to Calvary, but he carried the cross. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, I want the message of the cross, and I'm going to model that message being carried right through the marketplace, which was the Via Dolorosa. To this day, it is the major marketplace in Israel.
Yes.
And here Jesus is, and we know we have crosses in our sanctuaries, but somebody needs to carry the cross through the workplace.
That's right.
And it's not like open evangelism. People who hire you don't hire you to come in and be an evangelist on the job. They hire you to do a specific job and do it with excellence. That's what I love about your material, because you equip people and you teach people that their work is their worship, therefore it should be excellent.
That's right. That's right. I remember a story in business where I was trying to follow God, and I had this business deal, and I had to make a decision, right? But the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying, run, do not do this, right? And I was in Newport Beach, California. I remember this. But the money, I was just attracted by the money, the deal. I was like, I got to do this deal, right?
Yeah.
And so I knew I couldn't be unequally yoked with these people. So I, instead of obeying God, I tweaked the contract and actually did the deal. They stole $1 million from us in 90 days. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is how God carries the cross through the marketplace, okay? One of the executives that orchestrated that fraud, okay, he called me months later, and he says, hey, this is blah, blah, blah. And I said, wow, this is interesting, you know? And so I forgave him, and then I started to minister to them. I gave him a Bible. I prayed with him. And I remember about several months later, he called me. He says, Doug, the most amazing thing happened. He was in his office. He was a Catholic, and he started trying to pray, and Jesus manifested to him, literally showed himself to him. He broke down, started crying, gave his life to the Lord. Now he's running a company in California and actually leading worship at a church in Southern California. So that's just the way that God kind of carries the cross to the marketplace and takes kind of some situations you think are bad and actually turns them to good.
So you've actually started a movement for people in the workplace. You have an amazing website and all kinds of things that equip business people. Your burden, and I have one for it also, is to equip business people in the marketplace to fulfill the call of God on their life biblical principles and patterns. Kind of talk to us about the message that's in this book, Monday Morning Atheist, and you know, I know one of the chapters is on the Ten Commandments of Work. Tell us a little bit about the book and some of the things that you've learned.
Yeah, so the book was developed from research, so it's not just kind of what Spada thinks or anything. So for about 8 years, we did surveys. on the theology of work, and so we have about 300,000 data points on actual Christians and what they struggle with when they walk out of your sanctuary. And so we put that together and we gelled it and came up with these sort of biblical secrets, right, which we just talked about. Your work is worship to God. Another one in there would be sometimes people, like you just mentioned, they think that some callings are more holy than others. It's called the sacred-secular divide. And so there's things like that. But so it's really an awareness.
It's good.
An awakening.
Like you said, a mindset.
It is a mindset.
That my work is my worship.
That's right. And through the resources, too, they can take something called the switch quiz that helps them understand when are they actually switching God off.
Yeah.
It may be in gossip. It may be in decision making. It may be in all these different things. Because it's one thing for you to preach on the cross through the marketplace. It's another thing for us to develop a diagnostic that can help each person get to their own specific blockers.
You have an interesting cover on this book. It has a light switch, and you've got one here. So what is this about?
Yeah. Well, from my engineering background, right, I'm kind of a analytical type and thinking through this, but a lot of us have probably shocked ourselves on these, right? You know, trying to put a cover on or something like this. But I started thinking about flow, right? We all want more of God's flow, especially at work, right? A lot of us dread it. We want more flow. So I started to think, you know, this is the ground terminal. This is the power terminal. But in order to get God's flow, you have to stay grounded to the truth.
Wow.
You have to stay connected to the Holy Spirit, and you have to keep your heart and mind switched on.
Right.
That's what this is about. So oftentimes when I speak and stuff, everybody carries one of these light switches, and we challenge them, keep this. So I've heard years later, somebody keeps this on their desk, and people are like, what is that light switch? And it helps them remember when they're executing their work.
So good. To include God. Life.
Yeah, to include God.
So what so many people do is they go to church and they hear a great teaching from their pastor and they're blessed in church. And as soon as the last song is sung and amen is over, they basically say, well, church is over. Enjoyed it. See you next week. And they turn the switch off and they make the decisions all week. They go all week. They work all week. And it's like God is not included in the mindset.
That's right.
That my work is my worship. And what Doug is saying is, turn the switch on. When you're in a business deal, when you're about to go in and give a sales pitch, God, I'm not going in here by myself. I need your anointing, just like the pastor needs it, just like the singer needs it. I need your anointing. And you had me bring my saxophone because, you know, before I felt the call to preach, I thought my calling was in music, and I went to school and was on a full scholarship, but this saxophone was a talent that God gave me, and it was my gift.
That's right.
And you told me something, you know, that Jesus, before he ever preached a sermon, I had my sax, and other people, it may be they work with their hands, or they're great on a computer, or they're a surgeon.
Yeah.
But what is it that Jesus did?
Yeah. So if you really think about it, Jensen, for 30 years, Jesus did what? He was a carpenter. And he must have been a great carpenter, because you know why? He was known as Jesus from Nazareth, the carpenter, right? So, so for 30 years, he did what? He worshiped his heavenly Father. He obeyed. And the Bible says he grew in stature and wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I often think, why did our heavenly Father have the Son of God work? Why wasn't he out practicing preaching and doing that? So he was working and obeying
for
his Father. For 30 years. This wasn't just kind of like a little 2-year stint. This is 30 years, right?
Filling out orders. And
yeah. So here's another thing though. This stopped you in your track, okay? So he was obeying his heavenly Father in the workshop, working with this wood.
Right.
Okay? So the question is this. Was his heavenly Father any more pleased with his son Jesus when he was in the workshop working with wood?
Wow.
Or carrying that same wood to Calvary?
Wow.
The question
he
is,
was as much in the will and purpose of God when he was sawing, making tables and chairs, as he was when he was preaching and healing the sick and raising the dead.
And carrying the same wood to the cross.
That's marvelous.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
Now listen to this.
Did you hear that? Yeah. What your job, whether it's flipping burgers at McDonald's, wherever you are, is just as important that you be faithful and do it well And God sees your work as your worship. That's so, you know, something else. God didn't put him in a priest home.
That's right.
God didn't want his son to come to earth and be in a religious atmosphere 24 hours a day. He put him in a we would call it a blue collar.
That's right. That's
a blue collar parent house.
How many
where
pastors,
the man got up and went to work with his hands every day.
Yeah, and how many pastors and priests did God, Jesus call to be his disciples?
Yeah, all of them. That's a great point.
I mean, they were all workers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
all of them came from the workplace.
All those stats you said, I mean, all
fishermen.
Of it. Yeah. And so what's happened, though, is we have isolated this and we've made Sunday. You know, somebody challenged me once and said this to me. What if God cares more about Monday than Sunday?
Wow.
Now that's, well, you know,
that's profound.
I mean, he's a God of the go. Now, I know in Hebrews, man, we're gathered together, but it's about equipping the saints to launch them out, to send them, like you said before. And so one pastor I heard in California, he told his congregation, he says, listen, the church on Monday is evidence that the church on Sunday is real.
Wow, that's so good.
So we have all of our metrics on Sunday. We measure it. We look at that. We look at salvations. We would do good to equip the saints, release them, and start paying attention to Mondays through Friday. So this was the illustration we were talking about. So Jesus is in the wood shop, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he's worshiping his Heavenly Father. We already said that word avodah, which, you know, in the Old Testament is work. So I thought you would just take that sax here and we'd worship God together, right? And so Jesus is actually sawing wood. It's in the same vein
as you worshiping. And I can play Amazing worshiping. Grace while he's
That's
still,
right. It's
that's
the very
brilliant. That's
same
brilliant.
Thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's...
Wow.
I mean, I can't play that, but you can't operate a nuclear reactor either.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I don't want you operating on me either, man,
no,
if I
you
got
don't.
A problem. In
no,
the...
you don't. You want me to pray for you, but you don't want me to operate
That's
on
right.
So. That is so brilliant and it's so powerful. What has God put in your hand? Isn't that amazing what he said to Moses? What's in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
What gift and talent have I given you? That is your worship, your work, your gift. And when you give it to God, and it doesn't have to be in a sanctuary, it can be in a garage, it can be in a university, it can be in a hospital, but that your work is your worship. And Doug, I believe, you know, has brought a lot of meaning and purpose to a lot of people's lives. And I think each and every person watching this program needs to understand that your work is your calling. And I want to pray for you today. Maybe you've never seen it like this, and you would like to say, God, I want you to use me. Why don't you just say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be Lord of all my life, not just my Sunday life, but my Monday life. I want you to take over all week long and be real in my heart. Ask him and he'll do it. And we have put together an amazing packet, and it's a work kit. It's a work is worship toolkit that is going to equip you. And you're going to get Doug's amazing book. It's a good, quick read. You'll love it. And it's got great points and beautiful pictures. It's so well done. It's an amazing book. With my message, carry your cross through the marketplace. This will set you, I believe, you know, on fire to do what God's called you to do. To get up every day. You had a saying about Monday. What was it? You said something about it's not thank God it's Friday.
Oh, yeah. So part of this is changing another mindset, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the body of Christ thinks about, you know, thank God it's Friday. Get me out of Dodge.
Right.
Get me off the mission field. So we need to come into Monday saying, thank God it's Monday.
I love
I'm here, Lord. Let's go.
I love it. Can't wait to get to work because my work is my worship. You got to get this material. It's going to help you. And you're going to learn so much more. The Ten Commandments of worship we include in this. And it is powerful, powerful material for all of you people who get up and go get it every Monday. You're going to get up with a new spring, understanding the new spring in your step, understanding that your work is your worship. Check it out.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and will share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast and have a great week.